God is not schizophrenic, okay? I just want to put that out there first. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not contradict himself. And if he looks like he is, the problem is on our end, not his. Amen? Okay? Are we clear on that? And I just feel like I have to establish that because Numbers 22 starts the story of Balaam, and God is in this story, and Balaam does exactly what God says, and yet God decides he's going to kill him for it. Numbers 22, starting at verse 20, it says, "And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men have come to call you, rise, go with them, but only do what I tell you.' So Balaam rose in the morning and saddled his donkey and went with the princes of Moab." Okay, so far so good, right? God says go, Balaam goes. Verse 22, "But God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as his adversary." And as you keep reading, this angel of the Lord, he was standing there with a sword to literally kill Balaam. Wait a minute, wait. As I said before, God is not schizophrenic. So why is he so upset with Balaam here? He's upset enough to literally kill him. I find all of this to be weird, and I'd like to explore why it's in the Bible. So turn to Numbers 22, and let's get weird. Welcome to Weird Stuff in the Bible, where we explore scripture passages that are bizarre, perplexing, or just plain weird. This is Luke Taylor, and today we're going to be talking about the story of Balaam. We come upon Balaam because he is going to be coming up in our study of Jude. And so we need to step away from Jude here for a few weeks and dig into and establish who Balaam is, and then we'll get back into Jude. But there's a heck of a lot of weird stuff mentioned in the stories about Balaam. And this is fertile ground for a podcast called Weird Stuff in the Bible. So Balaam was a greedy prophet. Was he a true prophet or a false prophet? That's a good question, and we're going to dig into that question in a few episodes. But Balaam was this guy who had a really interesting relationship with God. He really did talk to God. He really received genuine prophecies from God. But he was also a very greedy guy, and he used his prophetic gift to make money. He was a prophet for profit, okay? His ministry was not a nonprofit organization, if you follow me. So, to understand what's going on in the story, let's just read it all in context. Numbers 22, let's start from the top. "Then the children of Israel moved and camped in the plains of Moab on the side of the Jordan across from Jericho. Now Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites, and Moab was exceedingly afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was sick with dread because of the children of Israel. So Moab said to the elders of Midian, 'Now this company will lick up everything around us as an ox licks up the grass of the field.' And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time." So this is a story. It's dealing with two guys, and their names are Balak and Balaam. I always say, if you need some help keeping straight, which is which, because they have kind of similar names, Balak's name ends with a K, and he is the king of the Moabites. So just remember K for king. And so King Balak is feeling threatened because there's all these Israelites who are living next to him. And he would like it if this prophet would go out and curse the Israelites for him. So let's go on. Verse 5. "Then he sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call to him, saying, 'Look, a people has come from Egypt. See, they covered the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once, curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land. For I know that he whom you bless is blessed, and he whom you curse is cursed.' So the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the diviner's fee in their hand, and they came to Balaam and spoke to him the words of Balak. And he said to them, 'Lodge here tonight, and I will bring back word to you as the Lord speaks to me.' So the princes of Moab stayed with Balaam." So far, it's kind of like, okay, what's the problem here? Balaam is offered this money for his services, but he says, Let me see what God thinks about that. And that sounds like a pretty good answer. Except if you think about it, Balaam really shouldn't have needed to ask God in the first place. You know, it's like, hey, God, you know those covenant people that you have down there in the valley? Would it be okay if I cursed them for money? You know, it's really something that Balaam shouldn't have had to ask God about in the first place. He should have been able to say no without even really needing to pray about it. But he does. And so it says, then God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? So Balaam said to God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent to me, saying, look, a people has come out of Egypt, and they covered the face of the earth. Come now, curse them for me. Perhaps I shall be able to overpower them and drive them out. And God said to Balaam, you are not to go with them. You shall not curse the people, for they are blessed. So it's pretty cut and dried, right? God does not want Balaam doing this thing. And this is what Balaam went out and told the guys. Okay, so I hope you've been paying attention to this story through verses 1 through 12, because we're really going to stop and psychoanalyze what Balaam says next in verse 13. So Balaam rose in the morning and said to the princes of Balak, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. Now, most of us would say that was a good response. You know, we'd pump our fist in the air. Balaam, good job, man. God told you no. So you told the people no. Congratulations. Good job. You honored the will of God. Woohoo. That would probably be the response most of us would have. But I want to stop for a moment. Let's psychoanalyze. Let's pick it apart. What did Balaam say to these guys? He said, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused me permission to go with you. What is wrong with that statement? Let's just imagine for a minute, like, let's say I'm a teenager again, and my friends invite me to go to some wild party. Okay, there's going to be underage drinking, sex, drugs, immorality, you know, all kinds of stuff that I should not be involving myself in. And so I'm like, well, let me ask my parents if I can go to this party. Okay, that's already a little bit ridiculous, but let's say I do that. I ask my parents, and of course, my parents say no. So then I go back to my friends and I'm like, hey guys, my parents say that I can't come to your wild party. I'm sorry. My parents say no. Now, if I say that, what does that response imply about me? You know, it sounds like I'm saying, hey guys, I want to come to this party. I want to join in on what you're doing. That's what I want to do in my heart. But mom and dad say no, so I can't. You know, in that case, it's good that I'm being obedient, sure. That's a good thing. But it also kind of reveals a heart issue. It reveals that, you know, I have a heart that desires this party that I shouldn't be at. Okay, so do you see the difference there? It's not like I said, no, guys, I'm not going to be a part of that wicked stuff. That's not what I said, okay? I'm saying no because my parents won't let me. Okay, it's like I'm saying, I really want to, but the boss says no. The authority says no. That's basically what Balaam is saying right here. Okay, so let's reread that. Let's reread what Balaam told the men, but keep that in mind. He says, go back to your land, for the Lord has refused to give me permission to go with you. So Balaam, it's like Balaam is saying, hey, I'd love to curse them. I'd love to get this money, but God is telling me that I can't. So we see from that response that it's something his heart wants to do, but God says no. And this gives the men the hint that perhaps Balaam is persuadable because they know there's a part of him that wants to do it. Verse 14, and the princes of Moab rose and went to Balak and said, Balaam refuses to come with us. Now, they didn't mention all the stuff about God. They leave that out of it because they see this as a Balaam issue. Balaam's response left the door open for maybe some wiggle room, a loophole or something, future negotiation. And so they're like, hey, maybe we just need to make this more enticing for him, and then maybe he'll say yes. So verse 15, then Balak again sent princes, more numerous and more honorable than they, and they came to Balaam and said to him, thus says Balak, son of Zippor, please let nothing hinder you from coming to me, for I will certainly honor you greatly, and I will do whatever you say to me. Therefore, please come, curse this people for me. Then Balaam answered and said to the servants of Balak, "Though Balak were to give me his house full of silver and gold, I could not go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, please, you also stay here tonight, that I may know what more the Lord will say to me." So again, let's psychoanalyze Balaam's words. He says, "I can't do it." Okay. And there's a lot of ways he could have said no. He could have said, "I don't want to." He could have said, "I will not help you curse them." But instead, Balaam is like, "I can't." He says, "I can't do it." Okay. Again, we can applaud the fact that he's obeying God, but it's his word choice. It's kind of revealing what his heart desire is. You know, and like then he just says, "Why don't you guys hang around here and I'll pray about it again." You know, he never should have had to pray about it the first time, but here he is coming to God again, asking for advice on what to do when he already knows what God wants. God's already made it clear. Why is he still trying to ask God about this thing? Okay, so he invites them in to stay a little bit longer, already knowing what God said the last time. You know, think about it from God's perspective. He doesn't care how much money Balaam is offered. You know, God has a desire that the Israelites are not to be cursed. They are to be blessed. So even if God hadn't made his will known directly to Balaam, it's just like it's obvious that he should not curse them. It's one of those things you shouldn't even have to ask. But Balaam keeps asking. So in verse 20, "And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, 'If the men come to call you, rise and go with them. But only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do.' So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab." So I imagine Balaam's happy to hear that. He's probably glad. God said yes, God said yes, I get to do it. He's got dollar signs in his eyes. But if you've been paying attention to the story, that's a little bit confusing that God would give in right here. You know, why would God say yes now? And then it gets even weirder, verse 21. "Then God's anger was aroused because he went." And so this brings us back to where we started. Okay, first of all, now we see the big picture. Now we see how weird it was that God said yes after saying no before. But then we see something even more bizarre. We see that God is angry about Balaam going along with this thing after God had just said yes to it. It's like, how do we make sense of all that? You know, God is angry enough. It's going to say later on in verse 33, "Surely I would have killed you," is what God is going to say to Balaam later. We'll read about that next time. God is angry enough with Balaam to literally slaughter him as he's going up this mountain that God just said he could go up. What is going on here? Okay, here's what's going on. I'm going to quote from John Bevere right here from his book, Killing Kryptonite. He says, "If we really desire or covet something, and God has communicated his will on the matter, whether through his word or in prayer, yet we still desire it, God will often give it to us, even if he knows it is not best for us, and that we will ultimately be judged for it." And by the way, if that statement, if that sounds weird, if you're like, why would God act that way? That is how God operates all through the Bible. At 1 Samuel 8, the people say, "Give us a king, give us a king." God says, "Hey, it would be a bad idea for you guys to have a king." But since they just keep demanding it, God goes ahead and gives it to them. The Israelites in the wilderness, they kept begging for meat, begging and begging and begging. Finally, God sends them quail, and the quail makes them sick. God sent the quail, but it was bad for them. Ezekiel 14, that is one of the most shocking chapters that I've ever read in the Bible. God says, if you like the false prophets more than the true prophets, God says he will deceive the false prophets so that they give you bad information. So God will give you what you want, but sometimes that can be a terrible, terrible thing. Romans 1 says that if you desire to reject God and worship created things rather than the creator, he will give you over to a reprobate mind. And that's no excuse once you're there. You know, you can't say, "Well, I was reprobate. It's not my fault." Well, that false prophet I was listening to, he deceived me. It was his fault, not my fault. God said we could have a king. What's wrong with having a king? God's the one who sent us that meat. Why couldn't I eat it? See, none of those excuses get you off the hook if your heart is not right. So it's like, well, God said Balaam could go with Balak's men, But Balaam's heart was not right. He had bad motivations. He wouldn't quit asking God, so God was finally like, fine, go with him. But he knew Balaam was really just in it for the money, so God's anger was kindled against him as he went. Balaam's kind of like that preacher. He came home and told his wife, hey, I just got a job offer at a bigger church. I'll have a bigger salary. We can live in a bigger city, in a bigger house. I'm going to go upstairs and pray about it. And his wife says, do you want me to come upstairs and pray with you? And he says, no, you stay down here and start packing. And you know, that old joke is just like Balaam. He finally gets what he wants, and God lets him have it, and oh boy, God is going to let him have it. So that's why God says yes, but God is still very, very angry with Balaam. And we're going to continue down this thread. We're going to go deeper into the story next time. I mean, if you think it's weird now, just wait until we get to the rest of Numbers 22. Next time on this podcast, we will continue with Balaam's story with one of the weirdest tales in the entire Bible. And I teased it all the way back in episode 1 of this podcast. It's the story with a talking donkey. But did that really happen? Did a donkey actually talk in the Bible? Well, come back next time and you'll hear that episode. Make sure you're subscribed so you can get it. And in the meantime, what weird stuff in the Bible do you want to know more about? Send me an email. weirdstuffinthebible@gmail.com. So I have a 5-year-old son, and you know, this kid, I love him, but he just doesn't know what's good for him. Okay. And I mean that literally. Like, if I left it up to him, it would be ice cream and cookies for every meal. He would watch Spider-Man from the time he got up until the time he went to bed. And you know, if he had no bedtime, that would be until about 10 o'clock every night. You know, if it wasn't for me and his mom, I mean, he would just do whatever he wanted, whenever he wanted. And that would actually be a pretty bad life for him, right? You know, that would be actually a pretty crummy existence. He would not turn out well if he didn't have a mommy and a daddy to tell him no. And we have a Father in heaven who loves us. He loves us enough to tell us no to a lot of the things that we want. And unlike what Balaam did, we should just learn from that lesson. We should just learn to accept God's no. Let me read that quote from John Bevere again. If we really desire or covet something, and God has communicated his will on the matter, whether through his word or in prayer, yet we still desire it, God will often give it to us, even if he knows it is not best for us, and that we will ultimately be judged for it. Sometimes God says no to our prayers, and we have to let God's no be no. We shouldn't keep begging God to say yes when the yes would actually be bad for us. God loves us enough to say no, and if your heart is right towards God, you should be able to take no for an answer. And if you think that's weird, then I hope you're a little bit more weird today, too. Thanks for listening. God bless you for sticking around till the end, and we'll see you next time.